and Haw.
Ellis took it away to Jones, top of the right circle. Shoots! He scores! Looked like it was Mike Ribeiro in front of the Hawk net, tipping the puck past Corey Crawford. It's a power play goal. 3-0 Nashville.
We didn't say too much. We weren't happy with the way things transpired. I thought we were just ordinary at best.
Karavainen takes the puck, put it in front. Jalmerson shoots. He scores! Nicklas Jalmerson! Kane put it in front. Sharp with a shot. He scores! It's a 5-on-3 power play goal. Caves beside the net, jams it in long. Goal! He scores! It's a power play goal by the captain. Also along the left wing board. Put it to the line. Keith with a shot. He scores! Hawks win! Hawks win! Duncan Keith let it rip from the line!
That's WGN Radio's John Weideman and Troy Murray that you hear on the call of every game on WGN throughout the season.
I think Duncan
Cap'n
Keith
Hawk continues.
Was just too tired and just saying, okay, I got to end this. I got to get off the ice. This is going on way too long.
He played a lot of
the
minutes.
The pace of that second minutes. Overtime, it was heavy legs. I mean, it was slogging along. It was not as rapid. There wasn't the pace. There wasn't the fatigue was showing. And it's understandable because these guys are playing at a high level, at a high pace for that long. But you saw the game slow down considerably.
Who's in and who's out tomorrow night? Antoine Vermette, in or out?
I think that he will be out.
Really?
Yeah. Well, who are you going to change?
A guy who can be successful on the kill, who's 58% lifetime on faceoffs against Nashville in his career. Mm-hmm. You were dominated in the faceoff dot last night.
You were.
The only guy that was over 50% was Brad Richards.
Well, you can't. But your problems last night in terms of personnel were defensemen. You know, I don't know that I would go back.
Your problems also were faceoffs.
Yeah, but so who are you going to replace? Tell me that. Who are you going to replace? Brad Richards? No, you're not going to replace Richards at this point. Not yet.
Versteeg wasn't great.
Well, that's not going to happen. Joe Quenneville's going to give Versteeg another game or two at least to get back into trying to get that second line in rhythm to where they can be as effective as they were at times during the season, because Brad Richards and Patrick Kane both showed signs of rust. Richie, as they call him, didn't play the last week and a half of the season, so he was shaking some off as well. I don't think Versteeg sits because I think that they like the possibility of that second line. So who else? Nordstrom? Nordstrom played pretty well.
He did.
The fourth line was effective enough that Joe Quenneville went to them more often than you would think. And when the Hawks are rolling four lines, they're dangerous. Cap, I understand what you're saying. Antoine Vermette is there and feels like, what am I here for? Why did they trade for me if I'm in the press box? But after falling behind 3-0, you'd be hard-pressed to find somebody in the top four lines that you can justify taking out of the lineup. Defenseman, different story. I don't think you go with Timonen and Roosevelt, one or the other.
And Comiskey.
He would be a guy that would be a candidate. You know, maybe Runblad is a candidate. I don't know, but I think that you might get younger, quicker, fresher there. I don't know if you had the same dilemma or the same mindset with any of your forwards in your top four lines, because you're not taking Tavo out.
Oh, no, absolutely not.
So you're not taking Kruger out. You're not taking Nordstrom out. You're not taking Bickle. Are you taking Bickle out?
No.
He gives you something you don't have. You taking Andrew Shaw out? No. Sharpie? Scored. Who else? Richards? For the reasons I just stated, I don't think so. So you don't really have a spot yet, Antoine Vermette. Bide your time. Take your Victor Stahlberg seat over here. It's where he had to sit until he paid his penance a couple years ago. And then maybe next series, maybe next round, maybe at home. Maybe when somebody starts to slump and Joe Quenneville wants to send another message that's strong and loud and clear. But until then, I don't think so. I think Vermette sits.
Boy, those face-off issues. Watching that game last night, it was like every face-off we lost. Every one.
Well, Taze wasn't great, and he usually is better than he is, right? I mean, it happens. It's one of those nights.
All right, let's go back to the phones. 312-235-2525. Ruth in Chicago. Hey, Ruth, what's going on?
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
How you doing, darling?
Hi,
everything
Ruth.
Good?
I am doing great. I'm just enjoying it. And what I was saying, that I admire Coach Q, because most of Chicago coaches, they don't seem to want to change their quarterbacks when they're in trouble or this when. But you know what? I think the game was so wonderful, and I thoroughly enjoy it. And I thank you guys for the discussion this morning. And I'm just saying, well, you know what? I would go back with Darlin Friday night, because I think that with discussion with Corey and Darlin, they understand it's a teamwork, and all we want to do is win.
Thanks,
it's
Ruth.
Hello.
Thank you
great
for the call.
Yep.
Okay.
Great
thank
call.
You.
Thanks. Appreciate it. 312-235-2525.
That is not worth overlooking either, because we tend to take for granted the fact that Joe Quenneville made a great move. A terrific move.
Took big stones.
When you talk about the playoffs beginning and what is customary in the playoffs, you don't really pull your goalie.
But let me give you a scenario,
right,
that I don't think you and Mike have thought about. Last year, early in the playoffs, might be first round, Daryl Sutter benches Jonathan Quick when they're playing lousy in front of him. He's the best goaltender in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Puts him on the bench. They come back and play great. And the next game, Jonathan Quick, that's your net. You're right back in there.
It's fair enough. That's a good comparison. I thought of the Kings last night when I was watching that game, seeing the Hawks that just refused to be beaten. They were very Kings-like last night. 3-0 deficit, didn't matter. They came back anyway.
Mike, were you out west when that happened last year?
Yes, I was.
So who was the goaltender they brought in for him?
I'm drawing a blank right now. Is it Jones? No.
I can't remember.
I can't remember, though.
Cormier.
And were there people saying that he should start the next game?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's always controversy with these sorts of things, Cap. It's called a sports debate.
Yeah, just not when you have Jonathan Quick, the best goaltender in the world. I would be shocked.
Well,
if
so
there
you're,
was
are
the,
you saying now Corey Crawford's the best goaltender in the world?
No, I'm talking about that one. But Corey Crawford just won the Jennings Trophy. You don't put him on the bench after
award.
One bad
it's a team award.
Period.
It's a team award. That's given to an individual.
It's least number of goals allowed.
Right.
They co-won it with Carey Price.
Again, this has nothing to do with penalizing Corey Crawford. It has nothing to do with making who starts game two is not a referendum on Corey Crawford's tenure in
And you're
in
telling
Chicago.
Me that if they go down and win 4-1 and Darling's great again, he starts Sunday?
Yeah.
And he wins that and we just, Corey, thanks for the season. We're riding this guy.
I don't know if you've noticed the nature of pro sports. It's a bottom
I'll
line.
I'll be shocked if he starts Darling.
Well, that's a different discussion. You may be shocked. I may be a little surprised as well. I'm just saying in a bottom line industry where we are always talking about results, baby, just results oriented, just deliver. Doesn't matter. Everything. Everything's about talent and production. Okay, you just had a guy who by his own coach's admission was a 310 Bellers. Is that what it was? Saves and had one of the best relief performances you're ever going to see.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's going to take a seat on the bench. I just think you ride it as long as you can. It doesn't mean you have lost confidence in Corey Crawford. It doesn't mean that you have decided that he is no longer your goaltender of the future or the present. It means you're going to ride it in game two, period.
Let's go back.
Probably
to
made 3-10 Bellers in that period.
Dylan in Lake Villa. Hey, Dylan.
What's up, Dylan?
I'm saying that Darling, he had an awesome performance last night. Yeah, I was at Wrigley watching the Cubs shut out the Reds, so I didn't really get to watch the game. But I was getting the updates on my phone, and Crawford was in the net the whole season, did great. Darling's on his 13th team in the past 6 years for a reason. He had a stellar night last night, don't get me wrong there, but it's Crawford's net.
Thanks, Dylan. Appreciate it.
It's a what-have-you-done-for-me-lately league, and Joe Quenneville likes this guy. It doesn't matter how many teams he's been on. Doesn't matter what he's overcome to get
yeah,
here.
Yeah, he had some issues off the ice that
Joe
also
Quenneville
contributed to that.
Likes this guy. And if he didn't like this guy, your backup option would have been Antti Raanta going into the postseason. I really believe that. Scott Darling's here because Joe Quenneville wanted him here. Would you agree with that?
No question.
So how do you factor that into the equation if you do it all? Because when he said last night, it's an easy decision, right? He said it's an easy decision. Pat Boyle and Steve Conroy did a great job last night throughout all of the overtime. They did a great job on CSN. They read it the same way.
They said when you listen to Q, they both believed that means Darling starting.
Yeah. And so I didn't hear it that much differently either. What is the easy call? The easy call? What is the easier call?
Go back to Crow.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's that. I don't know if that's the case.
Oh, please.
The easy call is to ride the hot hand.
No, the easy call is to go back to the guy that got you in the playoffs. Guy you rode all year that was arguably, I'll say Jalmerson, Taves, Crawford are the three team MVPs this year.
No, I think Crawford is probably near the top of the list with Taves.
Those three. I have three guys.
Yeah.
Holmstrom is a great defenseman.
Holmstrom is a hell of
a
player.
I think Holmstrom had a great game last night. That Holmstrom.
He was outstanding all year long. All year long. I still go back to Corey Crawford. All right, get the ultimate experience with the all-new Samsung Curve 4K Ultra HD TV at Apt in Glenview. With the Samsung 4K Curved Ultra HD, get the fastest internet and smart TV functions available. Come into Apt today, see the complete selection of Samsung electronics, or call them 847-544-2228. 847-544-2228. For complete satisfaction, free delivery, a better experience, shop where we shop. Apt, A-B-T. Apt.com, pleasing people since 1936. Ask for our buddy Steve Shapiro. We'll get a few more of your calls, and we got basketball to talk about. D. Rose sits out the second half. His decision says he'll be okay for the playoffs. Unbelievable. 312-235-2525. Sean Devaney from the Sporting News will be with us. He's their national NBA writer. We'll be right back.
It's the Cap and Haw Show on WGN Plus and Comcast Sportsnet.
So in Music City, USA, they couldn't find a singer?
Boom. Roasted.
That was Pat, and the giggle was Edzo on Comcast Sportsnet last night. And the Predators don't want to have a singer because they're afraid Hawk fans will cheer through the anthem.
And the background music there is from Carrie Underwood. Oh, yeah. See, I hit the post there. You see that? Oh, yeah. Hey, we could do this all morning.
Not my kind of music.
This brings me right back. Back to
you and Mike enjoy. You and Mike enjoy yourselves.
99.3 WKVI, the voice of the country.
You and your little buddy in there, you enjoy yourselves with that music. You, awful. Ugh.
I was 104.5 WSLD, your home in the country.
There we go.
Whitewater, Wisconsin.
Bad.
First job.
Bad. No more country. Bad. Country bad. 312-235-2525 is our phone number. It's Kevin Hall on Comcast Sportsnet and WGN Plus. Got a tweet saying, guys, caller of the show, Ruth. They loved Ruth's enthusiasm.
Ruth is on fire.
There you go, Ruth. Thank you for watching. Ruth, thank you for calling. Let's go back to the phones. It's John in Munster, wants to change the vibe.
Hey, John.
Hey, John.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
What's up?
A friend of mine turned me on to you guys, and you guys are 3 hours of my morning. I absolutely enjoy now.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yep. Hey, I got a question. It's a double-pronged question, and then I'll let you guys go at it. You think the inability of Kane in the first period with the chemistry, not being able to be on the other side of, keeping the ball on Nashville's side, you think that hurt Crawford? Because he was getting barraged the whole first period. So was it a freak occurrence, or was it just the Hawks' inability to – generate no offense in the first period?
It's a playoffs. The Predators
shrinks
were poised to do that. They were ready. They were ready to come out firing.
They hit Kane the
ready?
Ice
the
with a jump.
Was Kane ready? Well, you know, Patrick Kane played like a guy early on, like who had missed 7 weeks. I think you have to understand and expect and be a little bit more. He wasn't going to be the MVP caliber player he was before the injury, John.
I agree.
I don't think it's fair to expect that. Now, in 5 to 10 games, if maybe it won't take that long. In 2 to 3 games, maybe you'll see that again. But I think you have to be fair and patient. And I think you did see glimpses of Patrick Kane, the impact player. Because that pass to Patrick Sharp, There's only a couple guys
just
that can
his
make
impact
that.
On the entries in the power play was huge.
So, John, a little more patience, but I understand what you're saying. The early onslaught was a little bit faster than maybe he could handle.
Yeah, I think it was something that he wasn't prepared for, and I think that might have hurt Crawford.
I wouldn't say he wasn't prepared for it. He just needed some time to adjust to it.
Yeah, I guess that's a fair saying.
John, thanks, bud.
Thanks, John.
Appreciate the call. 312-235-2525. Ron is in Peru. Hey, Ron. How you doing, bud?
Hey, Ron.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's going on, Ronnie?
I think we got to go with Crawford. I mean, he has more experience. Is Garland a hell of a player? Yeah. But, I mean, I don't know. We'll find out in a few hours. We'll find out tomorrow who's going to be a goaltender. I mean,
you'll know today. We'll know before we get off this show.
We'll know by, you know, think about 11:45-ish.
Yes.
That's when they're scheduled to meet the media. The Hawks have the day off. Thanks for the phone call. They have the day off. They're not practicing, and they're doing the media, meeting their media obligations via conference call.
Correct.
So they have all day in Nashville to relax, sit back.
Get some treatment.
Maybe listen to a little country music.
Those guys are not country fans.
The Blackhawks? Do you want to?
I think they like rock.
Are you sure about that?
Do you hear country playing at the United Center much? Not a lot.
Okay.
They come out the stranglehold, little Ted Nugent.
Let's get a ruling from an Adam Rogowin, because I think that you'll find out that you might be mistaken there.
Whatever.
Pal.
Jeremy in Champaign. Hey, Jeremy.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Got one thing and a bit of a hypothetical for you.
Okay.
So I think last night, I don't think Q pulling Crow was anything against Crow. I think it was just Q sending a message to everyone, you know, fly right, or, you know, he's not afraid to pull you. So I think Q will start, Crow will start tonight. But say he starts Darling, and Darling has a hot hand and rides him through the playoffs, and we lose to the Ducks maybe. Do you think next year, if they need to move some cap space around, we get rid of Crawford and keep Darling?
Capithetical.
Well, that's a different
Jeremy,
question,
thanks,
Jeremy. I think that last night we're getting ahead of ourselves if we start to consider Corey Crawford a cap casualty because he got pulled after the first period and Scott Darling was brilliant. I think that's way too far ahead of ourselves.
Correct.
I'm not even getting so far ahead of myself to say that Game 3 makes sense to play Scott Darling. I'm talking about Friday night. Friday night.
Well, if you play Scott Darling Friday night and you win, you can't not start him Sunday.
Okay, then you start him Sunday. But you don't make that decision until you know Friday night. Everything about the playoffs is literally that one game, one period, one shift at a time. Because you have to win 15 more of these.
Let me ask you a question. White Sox go to the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
They bring in Jose Abreu is your league MVP. He's outstanding. He has a great year. Game one, he goes 0-for-4 with 4 Ks. Game two, 0-for-3 with a walk and 3 Ks. And game three, and Adam LaRoche, it's a big home run and is great. You benching Jose Abreu in game three?
You're equating in this the scenario Corey Crawford as your league MVP.
All right, team MVP. And you just said that. You're going to
bench. He's among the team MVP.
Okay, yeah. You're going to bench your team MVP.
If I have a coach, I have a manager who has 2 championships and he's trusting his gut, which he trusted to bring in this guy to begin with, they basically benched Crawford last night, right? That's what you're overlooking here. The decision was made to bench Corey Crawford for the second and third periods and the 2 overtimes. So if you are looking at this, taking a step back, Joe Quenneville followed his instincts, which serve him very well, by the way, in benching Corey Crawford. I'm saying continue to follow your instincts as far as they will take you. And if that's all the way to your 3rd Stanley Cup in 5 years, then more power to you. You can have all sorts of scenarios, and you can bring up Jonathan Quick, and you can bring up the Abreu scenario and the hypothetical. Joe Quenneville is an instinctive coach, and whatever instinct led him to make that very bold decision last night to pull his goaltender, the guy who got him there, then go with that feeling. Go with it. because it's the right one. And if his feeling is opposite, like, all right, then I feel like Corey Crawford's the right move here because Scott Darling caught lightning in a bottle, then I think that he's earned the benefit of the doubt. If that makes me wishy-washy, so be it. I think that you trust Joe Quenneville in this situation. There's not a wrong answer. It's a great problem. I'm just telling you what I would do if I were him. I would ride the hot hand.
All right. 312-235-2525. We got to take a timeout. We'll get back to more of your calls. We got to talk to Sean Devaney, get an update on the Bulls from a national perspective. D-Rose says this morning, according to Sports Illustrated, he'll be ready to go in the playoffs. He feels better.
Good.
Sat out on his own last night in the second half. We'll get to all that and more of your calls. It's Kevin Haw on WGN Plus and CSN.
CSN Chicago and streaming on WGN Plus.
You know, I felt a little rusty. It's nothing I didn't really expect. After some time off and coming back for the first playoff game, but it was good for me to get a game under my belt. Even better that we got the win, and hopefully I just keep improving and getting better and better.
There's Patrick Kane. Made his return triumphantly last night. A couple helpers, Blackhawks, 4-3, two overtime win in Nashville Game 2 tomorrow night. They'll meet the media via conference call at 11:45. We'll get you the goaltending news as soon as it comes out.
He was rusty, but he had two assists. He was...
Pass to Patrick Sharp was no rust.
And he was very tentative, but he was effective. He was a guy that was feeling his way a little bit, but you wanted him... where he was. You were better with him than you were without him, and I think that he made things in the power play go smoother, and that was a dangerous power play for the first time in a while.
Julia Wislaka, who's a great producer at Comcast SportsNet on Twitter, hey, at the Cap Man, Haw's right, Blackhawks are known to be a big country playing locker room. You should give it a chance. I can see you rocking a cowboy hat.
Yep. You hear the music in there, and you know that they have some of the guys are country concert goers, frequent.
Just keep it out of the stadium experience.
Why?
See, here's the thing, Kev. I was in your shoes. I was in your shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Country music, you're just one of those guys that I hate it just because
it's a label. It's you a hate label. The label. Yeah,
I've listened to it. I don't like it.
You give it a shot.
I have twangy, all that. Ugh.
You just got to give it a chance.
Guys. I've given it a chance. I'm not going to waste any more of the precious moments I have left on earth listening to country music. I think it sucks.
Wow.
Don't like it. Sorry.
As long as you're open-minded about it. Let's get back to the phones.
I have been. I've listened to it. Don't like it.
All right.
You don't like sushi? Don't eat sushi.
I'm not vehemently like opposed to sushi.
I'm not getting
mad about talking about sushi. I'm not like my blood pressure's not rising because I don't like sushi.
You like to walk on the other side of the street because you can't look at sushi. I get it.
I know, but I wasn't like, you know, I wasn't it's something I don't like. It doesn't ruin my day talking about it.
Don't like country. Yeah.
Okay.
312-235-2525. Back to the phone and pick one because they're all the same.
We'll go back to Crawford. Let's go to Jerry in Lombard.
Jerry in Lombard's next. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, Jerry.
Hey, I agree with the fact that Darling stole that game for the Hawks last night. You still got to go back to Crawford. It's his. He got us here. He's already won two Stanley Cups. I mean, you don't remove the guy permanently for one game, which basically one of them goals was his fault. That one behind the net was a horrible play. But the other two, I don't know that Darling could have made them saves.
Yeah, Edzo thinks that the first goal was just a great shot. Yes, it was. He said if Kane makes that shot, everyone goes, what a great shot. I just thought Corey didn't look good on that play. But Edzo knows a lot more hockey than I ever will. So.
Me too. I agree.
Yeah, Roosevelt was brutal on that play.
He looked like a turnstile. I mean, that was just absolutely ridiculous.
Yep.
Agreed.
Thanks,
Jerry. Thanks, buddy.
Appreciate it.
312-235-2525.
The one thing you wonder about Nashville, too, is just the experience that I think Patrick Kane alluded to after the game. They've got a lot of guys who have been through the NHL playoff wars. They've got two cups. They've got 16 players who have Stanley Cup championships. Nashville has not been through the same thing the Hawks have been through. You don't know what a game like last night. If the Hawks would have lost that game, it would have been like, okay, you bad really don't night. Like it, bad night.
That would have been the 11th straight series they'd lost the opener on the road.
And you would have spent the day justifying how it's they're going to go on a run again. There might have been a lot of disappointed people, certainly, maybe a different tenor, but it wouldn't have been the end of the world. Now imagine in Nashville, on the radio stations that don't play that glorious country music, and they talk about sports, that they might be talking this morning about how bad.
Well, I found their sports radio station on my way in today. Oh, I was listening to something the game down there, and they play National Mike and Mike. So really? There's no talk about it.
Well, I'm sure at some point during the day they have some.
Got somewhere.
Yeah, I've been on a Nashville radio station. I know they have Nashville radio.
I wanted the vibe thoughts. This morning. Couldn't find anything.
You wanted a vibe? A Nashville vibe?
Wanted to hear what they were saying.
Maybe they're talking draft. They got the number 2 pick in the draft. They're talking about trading for Phillip Rivers.
No way.
Maybe they're talking Cuddy. Maybe Jay Cutler could save their spring. But I imagine that their hockey fans are a little nervous today. They lost home ice. They lost a game they led 3-0. And they let the Blackhawks into their heads. And they're already in the fans' heads. The mayor invited them there. Like, hey, come on, take up residency.
The paranoia that they started with was not a good look.
No.
Not a good vibe. By the way, J.R. Gamboa on Twitter, listening to country music like scraping your teeth on the sidewalk. And then we got three others that say, Cap, you got to listen to outlaw country. That's real country. Not the stuff you hear on the radio. There's real good country that you would like that's like rock. So, getting them all. Back to the phones. Caitlin is in La Porte, Indiana, where they're having traffic nightmares on 94 this morning, I believe. Caitlin, how you doing this morning?
Hi, Caitlin.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Great.
Good.
I was all for Scott. You guys came on the air this morning. He was tremendous. That save in the third period was unbelievable. But after listening to Cap, you changed my mind. Corey's our starter. You got to go with Crow.
All right. Appreciate the support, Caitlin.
All right, Caitlin.
Can we just say how classy Corey was, too, after the win? The way he came out to congratulate Darling?
Yeah, he was the first guy out there, and he had a smile on his face. It wasn't like, I got to go do this. He looked genuinely happy for him.
Yep, great day to be a Blackhawks fan.
Thanks a lot,
Caitlin.
Thank you.
You, too. Have a good finish to your week. 312-235-2525. Matt has a bit of a different perspective on the call.
Hey, Matt.
Hey, Matt.
Hey, guys, how you doing? Just want to say a few things. There's pros and cons to both decisions. You know, there's no right decision, per se. You know, you go with Darling, yeah, he's hot. You know, that's a pro, and you can run with that. But at the same time, you got to think about what you're doing, you know, to Crawford's confidence if you throw in Darling. And, you know, okay, you go with Crow. You know, that may be better for the team later in this series as far as keeping his confidence up. So there's no right decision. You go with either one. They're both good goalies. And, you know, Coach Q is going to make the right decision.
I don't think you're worried about Corey Crawford's confidence. I don't think that you can afford to be worried about Corey Crawford's confidence. If you're worried about Corey Crawford's confidence at this stage of his career,
then he's done.
He's not worth $6 million a year. You're paying him.
Correct.
I hear you. I agree to a certain extent, but it's something you got to think about.
You do have to think about that. Thanks, Matt. I appreciate the phone call. You consider it, but I think that if you were worried about his psyche and it's just one image and it's just one reaction, I don't think seeing the way that he responded to Scott Darling's game and being the first one off the bench to congratulate him suggests anything that this guy was happy for his teammate, was happy for his team, felt a sense of relief, and would be a very supportive backup if he was a backup for one more game.
By the way, changing away from the Hawks from it, did you watch any other hockey at all?
No.
Did you see the PK Subban slash?
I saw the highlights of that, yeah.
Okay, do you believe he should be suspended for that?
It's a tough one because the playoffs have a different sort of criteria, but I don't have a strong opinion on whether or not he should.
Canadian broadcasting company, the CBC announcers last night, did not think he should have been kicked out of the game for it. But they announced this morning that Rob Stone, is his name Rob Stone? Yeah, Rob Stone. Mark Stone has a broken, fractured wrist.
Oh, gosh.
does that affect
It's not the supposed punishment? To, I believe, but I think it's inevitable that it does. I mean, it's hard to separate the reaction, the cause and the effect. It is. Don't you think?
Yeah, Pierre LeBrun says there'll be no more discipline, that he will move on, you know, be back to playing. The announcers didn't think he should have been kicked out of the game.
Remember Rafi Torres? It always makes you think of the Rafi Torres hit on Hossa.
Right.
And that knocked him out of the series. And I wondered if that factored into, he was a repeat offender, he's a punk, he's a thug, all those things. But I always wondered if the way that Hossa, how badly he was injured as a result of that, factored into the decision. I don't know how you separate it, really. It's human nature, isn't it? So if they're reporting, though, no further discipline, then there will be no further discipline.
Dennis Savard told the story that he got hit after the whistle by, God, what was the name of the guy on Winnipeg who then played for Eric? Keith Tkachuk. Hit him after the whistle, nearly broke his back. He was out for a few days, and he got on the ice the next time. He said, I don't know when it'll be. I'm getting you back. That was a BS thing you did.
Mm-hmm.
And as he reached for a puck, he said, you see the gap between your jersey and your elbow pad and your glove right there.
Mm-hmm.
He saw it. He went, bam, and broke his wrist. No punishment. No penalty. No nothing.
Wow.
Violent game, man.
Felt better, I guess.
Yep. 312-235-2525. We're going to take one more, and then we're going to talk some basketball with Sean Devaney of the Sporting News, their national NBA writer. You pick it.
John and Palos Hills.
John and Palos Hills. Last word on the Crawford discussion. What's going on, Johnny?
Hey, how's it going? You know, I totally agree that it's Crawford's net, but I also, you know, first thing that when they let three goals, and I thought maybe they should put Darling in. He's there to back them up and get them through, and I think that's what he did, and I think that Crawford should be starting in the next game for sure.
I'm in agreement.
Thanks, John.
Thanks. Appreciate the call.
Appreciate it.
All right, we took a bunch of them, so there you
– Yeah.
I bet it's 50-50.
Yeah, it might be more 60-40 in favor of going back to Corey Crawford. I think there's a lot of respect for Corey Crawford, as there should be.
There's plenty of support for Darling out there.
Yeah, and I think supporting Darling doesn't mean you disrespect Corey Crawford. It just means that you're – you know, you understand how fragile the playoffs are and how valuable each victory is. And so when you're going into game two, you want to maybe see if you can take the momentum that you gained in Nashville and continue it with the hot goalie.
Are you surprised by the support for Crawford? Mike just said to me people get on him a lot for a guy who's
I'm a little bit. I mean,
pretty good.
The most popular guy is always the backup, right? And there's some of that in play here. But I think, again, you know, people are smart. And I don't think that either side is a dumb argument. I think both sides are valid. But it's just a feel. It's just an opinion. And we'll find out what Joe Quenneville feels in about an hour.
Yep, a little over an hour. We'll get it for you. As soon as we get the word, sometimes they slide us some info, we'll get it to you. 312-235-2525. Sean Devaney talks NBA with us next.
It's the Cap'n Haw Show on WGN Plus and Comcast Sportsnet.
Derek had a good stretch here. You know, so that's a positive sign. We want to build on that. But we need, you know, you're heading into the playoffs. You need everyone, and you want to be at your best.
All right, welcome back. Cap'n Haw on Comcast Sports at WGN Plus. There's Coach Tom Thibodeau, who had to rally his troops back from a 15-point deficit without D. Rose, without Taj Gibson, without Joakim Noah, and they did it against the Eastern Conference champs. I'm talking about regular season.
Yeah, and you wonder how hard the Hawks were playing and how much.
Played their guys.
Yeah, it was impressive. It was an impressive comeback under the circumstances, and the Bulls got what they wanted, a number three seed, a first-round matchup against the Bucks, and a collision course with the Cavs.
In round two. Sean Devaney from the Sporting News, their national NBA writer, used to be based here, now based out in Boston, joins us now. Sean, good morning. How you doing, buddy?
Hi, Sean.
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We're doing well. What is your outside perspective from a national look-in on where the Bulls are going into this playoff? You expect them to make a deep run or no, don't see it?
Well, yeah, you know, I think that obviously the second round matchup is the one you've got to be concerned with, right? Is you know, that to me is basically the Eastern Conference Finals. because you know, if you get the Bulls and the Cavaliers, that's going to be a tough matchup for the Bulls to pull off. But I will say that, look, the way the playoffs are set up, that is such an advantage for Chicago, because you know, this is a team that obviously they need rest. And I think they need practice time too. I mean, I still think that, that this is a team that still is a little disjointed, just with the number of lineups they've had to go through and the lack of time together, because of the health issues they've had, that, you know, I think a little practice time will be good for them. So, you know, when you look at it, you get, you know, 2 days off between game one and two, then, another 2 days between game two and three. I mean, when you go through that, boy, you know, you're, that really plays to what they need. So I think the way this first round is laid out is going to be good for them. I think they'll be as ready as possible when that second round against Cleveland comes up.
Sean, so the Bulls win 50 games again. Derrick Rose missed 32. Joakim Noah missed 15. They had Jimmy Butler out for a stretch. Is that a testament from the outside looking in? Because here in Chicago, there's the – you know, the constant scrutiny of the relationship between Tom Thibodeau and the front office. But from the outside looking in, is their season a testament to Tom Thibodeau's coaching ability or the front office's ability to give him a roster that's deep enough to overcome the type of injuries that they had?
Yeah, I will say that the tension between the coaching staff and the front office is that emanates beyond Chicago. We're all well aware of that out here in the rest of the world too. So, you know, it's obviously an issue. But yeah, you know, I mean, I do think it does say something about the coaching that you know, when you've got 21 different starting lineups he had to use this year, that's really tough to maintain consistency. And you have to put it in the context of, you know, really the last 3 years that you know, they've been able to win the number of games they have, despite the injuries that they had. At some point, you've got to say, hey, look, whatever the coach is doing there, it's working. You can, I mean, obviously, there's things you can criticize about Thibs and find things that maybe he should do different, you know, the heavy minutes and things like that. But, you know, when you look at the results, I mean, for them to win 50 games this year with, like I said, the 21 different starting lineups, 48 games last year, 45 games the year before that, you know, with teams that were dealing with obviously serious injuries, at some point you've got to say, hey, this guy knows something about coaching.
Sean, how far has Derrick Rose's star fallen in the national eye? Because around here it's like, again, you're missing the second half with soreness yesterday. People are just kind of, they want to hang on to him and hang on to that MVP vision. What is the national perspective?
Yeah, you know, I think he's probably not fallen off nationally. You know, if you don't have to watch him all the time and you don't see, you know, the games he misses quite as much, and you just see the glimpses of when he looks like his old self, that I think nationally he's probably you know, still seen as a guy who can be that MVP caliber player. And I've watched him enough to know that that's not coming back. You know, he can certainly be a very good player in the NBA for many more years, but he's not going to be the guy he was, you know, in 2010. It's just not going to happen. But you know, I do think that in sort of the general NBA fandom, you know, people always say, well, if he can stay healthy, then the Bulls will do such and such. I don't think people have really accepted the fact that he's never going to be the player who won the MVP again. It's just not going to happen. And again, you know, I'm not saying he can't be an excellent NBA player despite that, but I still think that there are a lot of people who hang on to that.
Sean, you're in Boston where Brad Stevens has gotten the Celtics into the playoffs somehow. I don't know how that fits into Danny Ainge's grand plan, but they're in there anyway. And they're a team that I think might, you know, be a tough out. But I think in the East, and I'm curious what you think, it's all about the Cavs and maybe to a lesser degree the Hawks. So how do you see this unfolding with what looks like maybe the Cavs and the Bulls maybe looking at each other in the second round? I think that it's probably the best time for the Bulls to get the Cavs rather than later in this playoffs, because, number one, you couldn't guarantee if you're the Bulls that you could beat the Hawks. And number two, maybe the Cavs will take a little bit longer to get used to the intensity and the different style and the different just everything that playoff basketball represents. Maybe they're still going to try to figure it out for one more round and get them sooner rather than later.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. That when you look at Cleveland, that's one of the weaknesses. That's a potential Achilles heel is, you know, you've got Kyrie Irving hasn't done this before. Kevin Love hasn't done this before. You go right down the lineup, and you've got a lot of guys who have not experienced this before, guys that they play, guys that they rely on. So that's definitely going to be a factor. And if you get them in the conference finals, well, they'll already have gone through two rounds, and I think they'll be prepared for it. So, yeah, getting them in that second round, especially if they can sort of blow away Boston and not really have a big challenge. You know, the Celtics have played well down the stretch, no question, but I just don't think they match up well with Cleveland. You know, Celtics will probably win a game, but I can't see that going past five games. So if Cleveland sort of breezes past Boston in that first round, then, you know, they might not be ready for the intensity of playing Chicago, which is a team that, you know, up and down, they've got a lot of playoff experience, and you know, they're going to play playoff basketball. They're going to slow it down. They're going to, you know, make you grind it out. They're going to make every possession count. All those things that happen in the playoffs, that's how the Bulls are going to play. Celtics aren't going to play that way. Celtics, they have, you know, that's a team that they go up and down. They're a very fast-paced team, and B, they've got no playoff experience either. So I don't think Cleveland's going to learn very much from that first-round series. So to your point, I think that can be an advantage for the Bulls of getting them right in that second round.
Sean Devaney of the Sporting News, their national NBA writer based in Boston, is our guest here on Cap and Haw. When you get the assignment from your editor next fall, hey, you're covering opening night in Chicago, who's coaching the Bulls?
Yeah, I still think it'll be Tibbs. I think that.
No way. Sort of this, no way.
You don't think so?
100%.
I think that there's this level of tension, though, that everybody's sort of gotten used to, and I don't know that they necessarily want to make a change. I don't know that he necessarily wants to change. There's not a lot of good jobs out there, so you know I don't think that it's something that he's going to be jumping at. So I just think that momentum probably keeps him there. I might be wrong, you might be right, but I think it winds up being Tibbs.
How about with the Billy Donovan news? Have you following that a little bit? Looks like the rumors about him in Florida parting ways and parting company. Oklahoma City's rumored with Billy Donovan. And then when you look at what's going on in the West, is anybody going to beat Golden State?
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously Billy Donovan has had eyes for the NBA for a while. He took the Orlando job before second-guessing himself and going back to Florida. So, you know, of all the coaches who might make the jump, he has always been one who has been pretty high up on the radar. So, yeah, you know, I wouldn't be surprised to see him land in the NBA. And certainly Scott Brooks is being questioned in Oklahoma City. I don't think that's very necessarily fair that's happening, but there's no question that they haven't had much faith in Scott Brooks really for the last couple of years. As far as Golden State goes, I you know, San Antonio is the one team that can take them down. No question that San Antonio's level of experience and what they do is good enough to take Golden State out. But the Warriors are the most versatile team. They create matchup problems. They're the best defensive team. They can react to the matchup problems you try to create. And to me, that makes a championship caliber team. And you know, they just have so much depth and so many different weapons, so many different ways to attack you. That I think ultimately they're going to be the team to beat in this thing.
Yeah, I don't, and I do not see them winning the title simply because of interior depth issues. Yeah, they got Bogut. Yeah, they got David Lee. I don't think they're good enough inside. The NBA game in the playoffs gets real physical, real half court oriented at times.
But Dave, who is? You know, I mean, who's got that? You know, I don't know. Like I say, San Antonio, I can see. But I don't see anybody else really that scares me that much inside. And you know, I think Bogut and Lee and you know, if you put Draymond Green down there, I feel as good about Golden State's big guys as I do about anybody else's.
And, Sean, when you talk about depth, interior depth, I mean, you look at the Bulls, and that, we're right here in Chicago, but is there a team that has as good, if they're healthy, front court depth as the Bulls do? I think that's an interesting question because that is Golden State's weakness. I'm not saying the Bulls are better than Golden State, but when you get in the playoffs and it becomes about fouls and physicality and depth, I think the Bulls have to feel very good about the depth they have inside.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that. But don't forget, it's also about ball handling, about taking care of the ball, not turning it over. Three-pointers are nice. Those they still count in the playoffs, you know. So I still think that, you know, that as much as the focus does turn inside in the playoffs, I think sometimes it can be overstated. And I think when there's a lot of doubters about Golden State, you hear, well, they're too perimeter-oriented. I just don't buy that. I think that they've got a much more versatile team than they get credit for.
Hey, before we let you go, look, the Clippers-Spurs is a great series. There's some really interesting things going on out west. Golden State, I think, beats New Orleans. I think Dallas and Houston is a good series. What series, east or west, are you most looking forward to other than the Clippers and the Spurs?
Yeah, that's the one I would have said, of course.
Yep.
I am curious about, as you mentioned, Dallas and Houston. I think Dallas has really underachieved. I thought they were going to be a real dark horse after they got Rondo and Amari Stoudemire. I thought they'd be a dark horse contender. And I wonder if they can. I think Rick Carlisle is one of the two or three best coaches in the league. So I wonder if he can press enough buttons against a Houston team that's got injury troubles. If he can pull that off, that 7-2 upset, that's one that I think that'll be a fun series to watch. I think there'll be a lot of good X's and O's stuff going on. So that's one that'll probably keep my attention.
Appreciate the time, buddy.
Thanks, Sean.
All right, guys. Thanks.
All the best. Appreciate it. There he is, Sean Devaney. You can follow him at Sean Devaney on Twitter. He is the national basketball writer for the Sporting News.
That's a great job.
He does. 312-235-2525. By the way, I sent a text at the last break to a noted football writer by the name of Brad Biggs.
Yeah.
And all the text said was, how did the Washington Capitals do last night?
I don't think they did so well.
His response, good luck winning with Darling.
Oh.
Doesn't even respond.
Really? He wants real talk. He always says, let's get some real talk. Real talk? Caps choked. Game 1.
Gag City.
That's real talk.
Take that, Bigsy. We'll be right back.